Turn with me to Romans, the 13th chapter. I used this passage one time at church camp. I'd written a sermon specifically for church camp. And, oh my goodness, those kids loved the sermon. I didn't get into the text like I did now. And as I got into it, it was like, wow, it's even better than what I thought. I didn't say I liked it. Matter of fact, the more I dug into it, the more I did not like it, because it told me that I may be asleep myself. The title of the message is "It's High Time," and we're just going to dive into it because I'm not sure how long this is going to take me. If I just go through what I've got planned, it won't take long. And if I don't, well, lunch may be delayed just a little bit. So we're going to dive right into it. Verse 11 of Romans, the 13th chapter. Tell me it's working. This is going to be important because I've got some, it's not working. All right. Trust me, you have to trust me on this. It's not too much different than what your King James or New King James or whatever. "And this, after having known and continue to know that the time, it is already, and it is high time." The actual Greek actually says, does not say high time. Okay? That's not what that says. It says already time. Yeah, okay, there we go. Already time. So after this, and this, after having known and continue to know the time, it is already time or high time. You all be awakened out of sleep. For now is nearer our salvation than when we did believe, really. The believer is to know the time. Everybody know what time is? My watch says 11:23. Is that about right? All right. That's the time. Guess what? It's not 11:23 anymore. Not exactly. Because that's paraphrasing an old early 80s song, "Time Keeps On." Yeah, you got it. Into the future. And so when we say now, well, that's already passed. Time, how many of y'all in this past week? And I know Terry and I have done it several times. But how many of y'all just kind of look back and say, where did time go? We were going through Bryant, and it was like, I want my little Bryant back. You know, back when we just had one gas station and single lane, and all you had to worry about was a couple of cops who kept watching that you couldn't go over 40 miles. I love those times. And I drive around the neighborhood, and I got my bike out this week, and I drove around a little bit, and I said, you know, when I was a kid, I used to drive my bike miles and miles all over the place over there. I never saw a car. I remember those days. That was good, but that was past. Can y'all remember what you ate yesterday? How about last week? Y'all remember the? Okay, here's the good one. Do y'all remember what the sermon was on last week? All right. How about a year ago? All right, here we go. You see, time just keeps on slipping into the future. But the believer is to know the time. Now, the word there, having known and continue to know, that's the perfect tense. It's actually saying, you just don't need to know what it was. See, I knew what it was back when it was 11:23, I need to know what the time is now. And I believe there's so many people who are living their lives in the past. And so we need to know what the time is now. It does me well. A while back it was 10 o'clock. That doesn't do you any good now, does it? So it means to make sure that you know what time it is. That you do not dare miss knowing. And the word time is actually a special word. It's not your normal word for time as you find in the scriptures. It's talking about a special time, a critical period, a strategic time. You got to know that it's on the schedule, and you need to know that time. It's a time frame of something special, something important that's going to happen. It's critical. So what critical or strategic period of time is meant in this passage? What is the period of human history that we must not overlook? It is the day of our salvation. The day which is nearer than when we first believed. I was saved almost 50... Is that right? No. Yeah, almost 50 years ago. 49 years ago. We are close. I am closer to the realization of my salvation. Oh, I was saved then, but I haven't realized my salvation yet. I am closer to it, 49 years closer to it than I was when I first believed. I actually thought I would be back by now. Actually, kind of surprised we're still alive, to tell you the truth. But here we are, and I got to realize that. I got to know the time. That it is closer to the day of my salvation than it was when I first believed. He says the night is far spent, the day is at hand. We'll get to that in a minute. How important is it that we awake out of sleep? You say, we're asleep? Well, isn't that what the passage says, to be awakened out of sleep? It is possible to do many wonderful things for God and yet essentially be asleep towards God. Sometimes people talk in their sleep. Sometimes people hear things in their sleep. Sometimes people walk in. Any sleepwalkers in here? Maybe you walk in your sleep. Sometimes people sing in their sleep. Sometimes people snore in their sleep. Sometimes people think in their sleep, and we call it dreaming. You can function while you're asleep. One of I can kind of relate it to the last couple weeks ago. I had what I call COVID fog. Oh, I was awake, sort of, but I really wasn't. I wasn't aware of anything around me. All I wanted to do was sit down in my recliner and do nothing. And the world was passing around me. I didn't even care. Kind of like that. Where you can come to church every Sunday. You can do all the things that you normally do. You can go about your life and do the things, but you're totally, totally unaware of what time it is. And that time is that the day of your salvation is closer. Whether the Lord is coming back today, tomorrow, next week, 50 years from now, whatever, your day of salvation is closer. Or it could be the fact that you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. Your day of realizing your salvation is close. And it's closer than when you first believed. And he's telling us that we need to wake up. We need to wake up. Because one can do many religious things and still be asleep towards God, it's important for every Christian to make sure that were all wide awake and active in their life before God. I hesitate. I had some problems with this passage, particularly. I love the phrase high time. It is high time. And I did that at church camp when I preached that passage. It's high time. And they love that particular phrasing. How many of y'all heard that when you were kids? Young man, it's high time you get yourself in bed. Heard that a lot. And so when I see that phrase, I'm sitting there going, man, oh man, that was the final call. All right, you need to go to bed. I will. I mean it. You need to go to bed. No, I'm going. All right, boys, high time you go to bed. I knew at that point in time I didn't have any more chances. Okay? When I heard that high time, it was time. You see, that phrase, it's not found in the original text, the word high time. They used that as a colloquialism. That's what they, and they said that's what that really means, and they used it in their language back in the 16th and 17th century. But the phrase originated in the 13th century, and it actually refers to the warmest time of the day. All right, and we know that most of the time that's not noon, is it? In the summer, what time did you want to go in? 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock. That's when that sun is just beating down. So that's referring to high time would be when the sun was the hottest. And since people of that day were mostly farmers, this marked the turning point in the day when you must have either gotten so much work done on the land or you better get busy. I mean, it was to a point to where you looked up and you see that sun setting over there and it's the hottest part of the day. And you look back and see what you've done and you go, uh-oh, I ain't got much time. And they call that high time. So with time, the phrase got to be used to refer to a time when any activity has to be started, given that it is the best time is past. In other words, you're already past time. So the point here is dramatic. The day is nearer than when we believed. So we need to awaken out of sleep, to arouse ourselves, to get up and pay attention. Look at the world situation of what's going on in the world. It's time for you to look at yourself. You need to look at life and its uncertainty. Look at your body and its condition. I don't think that you're probably in better shape than you were 10 years ago. You think it's going to get better? There are a lot of folks who want to believe that. Look at the time. The sands of the hourglass are running out. I can't tell you exactly how long it's going to be. But it's time to quit, to wake up from this ruts of life that we're in. And it's time to wake up, to be awakened, and to see what is real, to examine the time. You know, I don't remember much over the last three weeks or so because the only thing that I can remember is sitting in my recliner. I remember a few things. I wasn't paying attention to anything, and it just felt like everything was a dream. Isn't that the way we look at our past sometimes? That it's just kind of like a dream? As the past slipped into the future every day? Some folks get a little nostalgic for the past and want to live in the past. Some folks just simply want to live for the future. What is this passage telling us to do today? Live for the now. We need to really wake up. And we need to see this world the way it is. We need to see the way we are. Remember the context of what we talked about? What we did talk about last week? Loving your neighbor. And before that it was loving your enemy. Loving your church member. This is the same context. It's high time that we do that. It is high time that we awaken out of our stupor. Look around at each and every person. Know the person that needs to know Jesus Christ. Because, and work towards showing them who He is and how He can save them. It is high time. We don't have much time. He said, Lord, Randy, you don't know when the Lord's going to come back. No, I do not. It could be 2,000 years from now, and that's all in His hands. But I do know that I have only a limited amount of time. I don't know how much time I've got, and neither do you. It's high time that we wake up and realize that. Realize from our stupor, from our sleep, and see the world the way it really is. To see other people the way they really are. To love them as God loved them. Love them enough to share the Word of God with them. The gospel of Jesus Christ. To share it with them. To know that the world and its evil are truly signs that the time is running short. Wake up. It's high time. He says in verse 12 and 13. The night did advance, and the day came near, and continues to come near. Therefore we may put aside the works of darkness, and we may put on the weapons, in your version probably say armor, of light. We may walk decently, as in the daytime, not in the revelings, in the drunkenness, not in the promiscuity and indecency, not in strife and envy. The night is spent, the day is at hand, because we know that the danger of the times that we anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus. We should all be more energetic and committed with a right walk with God instead of a sleepwalk with Him. And I think too many of our churches, too many of our church members, and yes, too many of our pastors have been sleepwalking, just going through the motions. Not aware of the world, solely centered upon the things of religion and not the important stuff of the people who need to hear the gospel. We need to put aside the works of darkness and put on the weapons of light. The illustration here is of taking off and putting on clothes. Now, when you get up every morning, you dress I hope you dress appropriately. I know that on Sunday mornings, I'm not going to come in my overalls as much as I would like to. Right? Right. I would love to, but I'm going to dress appropriately. Suit and tie, I've done it almost all my life. So this is the appropriate dress. In the morning when I go to school, I will probably put my jeans on and a flannel shirt and my cowboy boots. And if it's cold, I'll wear my long coat. She hates that, but that's what I do. That's an appropriate dress for that occasion. And during the summer, when it's time to go swimming, well, I'll dress accordingly. I won't have my blue jeans on. In the mornings, when you change the clothes, every morning I get up and I ask Google what the weather's going to be. And I do that every morning. What the weather's going to be like for the day so I'll know how to dress appropriately for the day. And I hate those cold mornings and hot days because you can't dress appropriately, right? So when you get dressed every day, you dress appropriately to who you are. I'm not going to put on a dress. because that's not who I am. I'm not going to dress in the 70s disco shirts and bell bottoms. That's not who I am, although I did have one shirt. She didn't like that one either. You see what I'm talking about? I'm going to dress about who I am. And I need to dress appropriately. She gets on me because I want to wear my shorts to the hospital or something. No, you're a preacher. You've got to put it on. And what you plan to do. You need to dress about what you plan to do. So therefore, how do we need to dress as Christians? And I'm not talking about items of clothing. What do we need to put on as Christians every day? Remember, it's high time that we wake up. And once we wake up, what are we going to put on? So every day we should put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order to put something on, we must cast something off. The rags of sin must come off if I put on the robe of Christ. There must be a taking away of the love of sin, and there must be a renouncing of the practices and habits of sin, or else a man cannot be a Christian. It will be an idle attempt to try and to wear religion as sort of a celestial overall over the top of old sins. We have to cast off the sins and put on Jesus Christ every day. That takes us back to the previous passages, doesn't it? How are we to present ourselves before a lost and dying world? We've got to wake up and realize there is a lost and dying world. That there are people that you need to see, you need to talk to, that God's sending your way. That person who's watching you from afar, they're seeing you come to church every Sunday. They are seeing you pronounce yourself as a God-fearing Christian, and yet they're also seeing the sins, the blatant sins of the world within you. It doesn't work. You got to cast off those sins and put on Christ. The works of darkness is what we've got to get rid of. It says we may walk decently as in the daytime. Have you heard anybody ever tell you that there's nothing good that goes on at 2 o'clock in the morning? And they're right. Why? Because it's dark. Everybody's asleep. And really the only reason to be out is because you're looking for trouble. So we need to walk decently as in the daytime. And that's what Christians do. During the daytime, we walk decently. But many times during the middle of the night, when no one else is around, when it's dark, and they think no one else can see, well, we have a list of things that can happen. Revelings and drunkenness. Not in promiscuity, not in decency, not in strife and envy. These are not appropriate for Christians who have come out of the night into God's light. You can't live like this and be able to work for God. And there are people, going back to our high time analogy here, there are people today who have been doing this all their life, and they think that they're serving God, but it's high time that they wake up and realize that they're not. That they got to get their act together. They got to work for God. They got to wake up. It's high time. But he gives them a weapon of light. Or an armor. And this is related to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When we put on Christ, we put on the weapon of God, and we are equipped to both defend and attack. You say, well, what's the difference? Why did you put weapon? Because that's what it actually says. Weapon. Other translators have, you know, I'm just going to put what it says. But you know what? You can defend with a weapon too. Putting on Christ is a strong and a vivid metaphor. And it means more than just putting on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, signifying rather, let Jesus Christ Himself be the weapon that you wield. He's your weapon. Every day when you wake up and you realize, when you actually realize the battle that you are facing, and the battles that we are facing every day when we wake up are tremendous. In Ephesians, putting on the armor of God, there's a reason for that. We are to clothe ourselves in the armor of God. And the reason is that we're under attack every day. It's high time that we wake up and realize that. For some folks, their life has never changed in the last 20, 30, 40 years. Everything seems to be the same. Time just keeps on clicking around, but they're doing the same things they've done. It's time to wake up and understand that we're in a battle with Satan over the lives of those ones who need to know Him. Wake up. In verse 14. But you all be putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you all be making no provision of the flesh regarding its desires. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the picture is that is clothing ourselves. We're to clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ and His righteousness. We are to be bound as close as we possibly can be to Him. We are to be bound just like we're putting on clothes. I mean, it should be snug. Jesus Christ becomes our clothing. And as our clothing, He covers us. He protects us. He warms us. And He surrounds us. We are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Being in Him means that we live, move, and have our being in Him. He is the center of our lives. In His life, His thoughts and behavior, He becomes our focus in life every moment. When we're asleep, spiritually asleep, it is when we ourselves are the center of our own lives. We're sleeping. We're sleepwalking through life because it's only about us. But that changes when we awaken out of sleep and we actually put Him on, clothe ourselves with Him. We must not make provision for the flesh. The idea here is that we don't give in to the flesh and its lust. Look, I'm not going to make this long list and I'm not going to sit here and point fingers at people and individual sins. But when you're awake, truly awake, and you look at the things that you're being tempted about, when you're awake, you can make good decisions. You can say, no, that's going to lead me down a path I don't want. No, God says I shouldn't do that, and there's a good reason for that. But I want you to imagine that if you weren't filled with the Spirit, but filled with drink, drugs, sex, well, you name your feeling there. You're asleep to what God wants, spiritually speaking, you're asleep. And then watch, all you want is what you want. That's what He's talking about. Make no provision for the flesh. if you're awake, you can make some good decisions. Some of the worst decisions in people's lives have been made when they've been high or under the influence of alcohol or under the influence of lust and desire. Bad, terrible decisions. Paul says, wake up. You can put on the armor. You can put on the clothes of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to fight that battle. Because as Jesus Christ as your sword, He can fight any battle for you. We not to indulge or give license to the flesh. We do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a general wake-up call. Not only about loving your neighbor and all that. It's not only about realizing that the day is now. Realizing that your time is limited on this earth, whether or not the Lord comes back and gets you or you pass from this life naturally. That in itself is a great wake-up call. But while we are working, while we're in the field, while the sun is going down, we are to take account for our actions while we are working. We're to wake up and realize the day is gone. Have you ever had one of those days where you had great plans for the day and you start piddling around, you procrastinate a little bit, you do this and this, and you wait, and then you look up and you say, where did the day go? You may be there now. Wake up. The time is now. There may not be a tomorrow. You just might say, Brother Randy, I will start working for God when my kids are grown. I may start working for God when it becomes financially ready for me to do so. I may be working for God when I get through with all the problems in my life. No, the time is now, and it is high time for us to wake up and realize that it is time for us to work. It is time for us as a church to wake up out of our stupor. And I feel like we've been in one for 2 years, guys, whether we believe it or not. It is time for us to wake up and realize that the time is near. It is high time. And that means each and every one of us must look at our lives in our church in a different way. One, from not being asleep, but being woken up and realizing how desperate the times are. The day is far spent. And we've got to work. Whether it's individually in our own lives or as a church. I don't know what else to tell you. That's what the passage means. And I hope you can figure out what it means to you. What God is saying to you. It may very well mean to you, it's time to wake up. As we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I do not know even if you're saved or not. I know everyone in here has professed salvation. I know that, but that doesn't mean you're actually saved. If you're here today, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've been delaying it, because God's been talking to you. You've been delaying it. You have been putting it off. You have said, not now, Lord, not now. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say it as emphatically as I can. It is high time that you do it, because you do not know how much longer you have to make that decision. See, Jesus Christ had it. Gave His life in order to save us at the right time. And now the Spirit of God works on the hearts of men and women, telling them that it is time for them to come. For some, they may have years. But for some, the Spirit of God may be saying it's high time because you don't have long. If you're in that position today, would you today awaken out of your stupor and come to know Him as Savior, as the Lord of your life? Accept His eternal gift.
Number 530. 530.